just had Dan Levitard on. If you are not with us, hosts a show on 790 The Ticket down there, Miami Herald columnist. You see him all over ESPN. And one of the things that I've always admired about Dan is that he's willing to go the other way on almost any story. You know,
yes,
there are a
is.
Lot of stories that like 95% of the people feel one way. He's often in the five. So when I hear him say, listen, I haven't heard anyone who can defend this well, meaning Jeff Ireland, the general manager of the Dolphins, asking Dez Bryant if his mother was a prostitute, I consider that to be an interesting statement from Dan Levitard. Now, bearing in mind that context is always a factor in anything, and we don't know the context, but as Dan Levitard just said, they're so secretive in that front office that they won't come out and tell you anything. So in the absence of knowing the context, them explaining it, you know, we're left to just see the story as it is, know that Jeff Ireland felt the need to apologize to Dez Bryant, know that Dez Bryant was upset by it. That's all we pretty much know. So knowing that, Marcellus Wiley, you played in the NFL a long time. What do you think?
You know, I've been in that same position, in that same seat as a Dez Bryant. I could go back to when I was signed as a free agent by the Dallas Cowboys in 2004. Walking into Bill Parcells' office, this is my quote-unquote recruiting trip of sort.
And you weren't a rookie, right? You had been in the league.
Yeah, I've been in the league.
Free agent.
Yeah, this is my seventh, eighth year. Bill Parcells' back turned to me, writing on a chalkboard. Doesn't even turn around and say hello or nice to meet you, Marcellus Wiley. Just echoes, do you do drugs? And I took that in jest, but now listening to the Dez Bryant situation, there could have been a context in which he meant that in not such a positive way. I mean, I'm from Compton, California, so obviously there are some things checkered, not in my personal past, but family members, drug dealers in my family, drug addicts in my family, things of that nature. I don't know how far and how long did that stay attached to me. So Dez Bryant sitting there and hearing, is your mother a prostitute, makes me think of Bill Parcells and his connection, the executive in the Miami Dolphins organization, who told me, furthering that conversation, one thing he vowed to do is to always make a great man. Not just a great player, because he went through the experience with Lawrence Taylor and his drug addiction. He said, I made him a great player, but not a great man. And never again would I let another player down in that capacity. I had teammates on the same Dallas Cowboys team, Leo Carson, right now incarcerated because of drug trafficking. Why? Leo Carson's a great guy. Ask Bill Parcells this. His family, his brothers, his family members who came to stay with him, his family members who were always around the locker room, were the ones who kept dragging him into situations that Leo finally couldn't say no to. You talk about Quincy Carter, another guy who had drug issues on the same Dallas Cowboys team. So I see some parallels and some commonality between the connection of Bill Parcells and Jeff Ireland and saying, you know what? I'm not going to look at this as something that's going to degrade you. I'm not looking at this question as something that's going to try and put an indictment on you. I'm simply saying if you have these issues and these pressures around you, maybe I should help you.
So do you think it was justified to ask?
I mean, it's a tough question to hear. I mean, when I first heard it, and I mean, up to this moment, I still shake my head like, wow, that is a crazy question to ask just because we don't know the context.
I mean, because wouldn't you admit it's one thing to ask if you're on drugs and another thing to ask if your mother is a prostitute?
It is, but then I'm going to play devil's advocate a little because I totally am sensitive to the question being asked. Most players I know get in trouble. Even let's go to Ben Roethlisberger, the last player in trouble, are because the people around them enable them, and no one ever humbles them and tells them no or tells them stop. And the players, yes, you have to be responsible and accountable. I understand and respect that. But just like in a locker room, chemistry is an issue. You know, you got to have the right people in there. You can't have cancers in that locker room. Sometimes in a guy's family circle, he brings those same kind of issues along with him. Is it a team's responsibility to figure that out? I think as much as you can, yes. I mean, despite the number and the dollar investment, if you're going to get a guy in a seventh round, you want to know what kind of things is this guy dealing with? What kind of social issues does this guy have to deal with on his day-to-day basis?
Mike and Mike Marcellus while he's in studio. That's a really interesting perspective. What you're suggesting is that it is possible that they were asking that question not because that would scare them away from drafting a player, but potentially because they just want all the information and might feel as though, well, if that's the case, Maybe we could help in some way. I don't know. It is certainly an angle on it that I hadn't considered to this point.
Think about it. This is the same team that was drafting 12.
Yeah, they were at the time, yeah.
And they wanted a receiver, obviously, throughout
right.
the offseason.
Yeah.
Brandon Marshall lands there.
Yeah.
Big dollars. Brandon Marshall has a checkered past.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, great player, great person, know him well, think the world of him. But he's had some issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, candidly, in those conversations, before you give a guy a total of 5 years, $50 million, you're asking him some questions about what really happened. I mean, I don't want to read about court statements. I don't want to hear what the media says. What happened? Why did you find yourself in that situation more than once? In the same vein of that conversation, I think that this question probably was asked just because I know Bill Parcells, the man who wants to make sure that he's going to not only be your coach, but in some sorts, the father figure.
That's interesting. So I guess the next question then, if you don't have a problem with them prying into it, I guess then the question becomes, is that the right question, or is there another way you can ask that?
In all respects, there has to be a better way to do it. I mean, I don't think it was just as black and white vanilla, is your mother a prostitute? Next question, what's your favorite food? Right. I don't think it came like that.
See, the only thing I'll say about that is the fact that that's what Dez Bryant said happened, or it was reported, and Jeff Ireland has come out and said, I ask in-depth questions, I apologize for poor judgment in this question. That would have been an area for him, for Jeff to say, you know what, I didn't say it that way. Yeah. I didn't ask a question like that, mm-hmm. but he hasn't done that.
Yeah.
So.
But you know what, Mike, and if you've ever been on a situation, on the side of a situation where people are kind of attacking you and saying you did something, there's two ways you could play that. One way you could play it is saying, I'm going to say the least amount possible, therefore I don't open up a can of worms because mm-hmm. everything I say right now is going to be under scrutiny. Or you can really go out there and further explain yourself and keep going, and then you're going to deal with this battle of perceptions and media and bloggers that is a never-ending battle. So I'm not saying it's an indictment on Jeff Ireland for him to say, I'm going to hit the mute button after this. I'm going to deal with it internally. I know what happened. Dez Bryant knows what happens. He's on a different team. He's not our problem, per se. I asked him a question. This is not to justify what he said, but I do understand sometimes you just want to say enough is enough.
Mike and Mike Marcellus, while he's here, is going to stay with us, and we're awfully happy about that. We'll continue to discuss. But Marcellus offered one of the most interesting insights into having had a job interview with Bill Parcells you've ever heard, and the potential for a slightly different take on the controversial question to Dez Bryant. That Bill Parcells once basically put things in context with you, Marcellus, that he wanted to know everything about you because he wanted to help you if he could, if you had problems.
Yeah.
And I, the one thing I'd say to that is it not somewhat insulting to have someone ask you that question? Because aren't they making an assumption about you by asking it in the first place? You know what I mean? When I showed up at ESPN for an interview, they asked me a lot of questions. And I had to take a drug test. But no one asked me, now I'm not from Compton, you're from Compton, and I'm not. But no one asked me if I had family members who were on drugs or anything like that. Is there nothing insulting in the question itself? Is there no assumption in the question that is inappropriate?
Oh, very much so. I mean, it is. I mean, underlining the question, just the blanket statement, is the fact that you know where it comes from. You know where it stems from. And that is, in some forms of respect, disrespectful. I mean, you just think about, really, you're going to connect me to my background in that sense? You're going to connect me, if I'm Dez Bryant, to my mother? How is that relevant to what I'm going to do on this football field? How is it relevant to what I'm going to be in this locker room? You are disrespected by that. However, they're just shooting in the dark right now. This is the same organization, and this is the same NFL that can't get it right with the first pick of the draft. This is the same organization, same NFL, that sees a Ben Roethlisberger in his sixth year now all of a sudden committing these indiscretions. They can't figure this out. It's not just about, okay, the rookies, you don't know what type of player he is, what type of person he is, because sometimes you think you know a guy, and he's been in the league for a few years, and all of a sudden a hiccup occurs. So, yes, it is disrespectful. I didn't take it that way when Bill Parcells had his back turned to me and said, do I use drugs? And I'm like, I'm searching. I'm between my ears right now. Where is this coming from? Never steroids, never HGH, never substance abuse. Compton? I didn't know. But at the same time, context surely matters. And until we know the full context of this situation, let's be careful of our judgments.
I'm being told Herm Edwards is on the phone. He's got a thought here. Coach, jump in. What are your take on all this?
Well, I think first of all, Mike, Marcellus makes a good point in the fact that, you know, I've sat in those rooms, in those interview rooms as a head coach and as an assistant coach, and, you know, it first starts with the scouts. You know, they go out on the road and they're watching these kids and they're getting all the information about these guys, on their college campus for about a year and a half, almost two. So they've got all kind of information. Some of it is, you know, back from when they were in high school, and you have all this information. So you know going into that room kind of a little bit about the guy's background. With that being said, I just think there's certain ways you get the questions without embarrassing the player. And I just think that's very, very important because here, at the end of the day, you know, you're trying to help the guy, but you have to, you already kind of know the environment the guy grew up in. It's not like you're blinded when the guy walks in the room. I mean, all those guys at the combine, they have a pretty good idea who the guys are with a little bit of extra luggage. And you get that part. And so I think when you go about asking the guy the question, there's ways you go about doing it. So you don't embarrass yourself, but you also don't embarrass the organization. Because I just think there's certain questions you want to ask guys, you can get to it. And there's enough there where you can kind of, and Marcellus knows this, you can kind of tie the dots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, one thing about kids, and we lose sight of this, you know, they can't control their parents. You know, they can't pick them either. They can't choose them. They have no ability to do that. But I think what they have to be able to do now in their lifetime is they can choose their character. Because every time you make a choice, that really defines who you are. And what you're trying to do with this young guy and guys like this that have been in situations that no fault of their own, when they get out of it now, what are they going to do? And Marcellus makes a great point. All of a sudden you're going to give this guy a bunch of money. Does he bring that with him? And that's what you're always concerned about. When they get to the next level, how many new uncles, aunts, cousins, mm-hmm. brother-in-laws, and I've dealt with it, trust me, as a head coach, you know, that all of a sudden they're on the wagon too, and they move them in town, and all of a sudden that problem becomes an issue for the kid because now it's more than about football, it's about, you know, off the field, what is he walking back into? And that's a concern for most organizations when you talk about guys like this. And Marcellus makes a good point, you know, with Bill. I mean, Bill, I think that, you know, Parcells, as hard as he is, and people have this image of him, I mean, he's always, you know, he understands the players. I mean, you know, he had LT. I played in the era of LT when he was coaching LT. So I get that part, and I get where he's coming from. And I think you have an obligation to these young guys. We can all draw up X's and O's and teach them how to catch, teach them how to tackle. But if they leave you and you haven't talked to them about being better men and showed them about how to be a better man, then you failed the player. You really have. Because his career is not going to be very long anyway. Most of these guys, if they have a career, it's 10 years. They're out of the league within about 32 years old. Then what do they do? Have you given them some life skills so they can move on with their life and make a life after football? You know, football's not it's not one of these deals where you can do it for 30 years. I mean, you get into coaching or management maybe, but most of these guys play and then they're out. Then what do they do? What are the skills that they, when they leave the game, that you've given them as a coach besides teaching them how to play football? And a couple of these guys, you know, there's a lot of sad stories. And a lot of them are sad stories because they're not stars. I mean, we hear about the stars. There's a lot of guys that come to the league with issues now. I mean, but the big name guys, those are the guys we talk about. But trust me, there's guys at that combine that are pretty good players. They've got issues, too.
Outstanding.
They're getting asked some hard questions, too.
Outstanding perspective. Coach, we always appreciate you
jumping in
here on Mike and Mike.
For sure.
Everybody's listening. Chris Carter's on the phone now. Mm-hmm. He's got a thought. Go ahead, CC. What do you think?
Oh, man, this is amazing. The first thing, guys, is I'm concerned is this the regular line of questioning? Like, is this what they regularly do? For kids that have somewhat of a checkered past. Is this the normal line of questioning? Now, another thing on the Bill Parcells side, you'll remember when I got cut in Philadelphia.
Yep.
And then all the stuff came out about my drugs in the past and all that stuff came out. Bill Parcells was the first person to call me. And to this day, him and I, when we see each other, he's always regretting not being able to get a hold of me at that point. So his record as far as with young people, it's pretty impeccable. Now, I know we're talking about Ireland, but he's a protege of Bill, and this is what Bill does. And the impact he makes on young people's lives is second to none. So is this what they regularly do, though? That's what I would have to ask.
We'll try and find it out.
That's a fair question, because I've heard some people email in and said, well, there's a lot worse questions that are asked. And my response to that person was, really? What is it? Hmm. So somebody tell me what else has gone on. You know, maybe there has. I haven't heard it. Maybe there has. I guess the bottom line is you can dig, but how do you ask something?
Let's just reestablish who everybody is here. We're Mike and Mike in the Morning, ESPN Radio. That was Chris Carter. He called in with thoughts. Herman Edwards called in with thoughts. Everybody's listening. Marcellus Wiley in our studio. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's really the push-pull that comes from the fact that now we are focusing and elevating the word character in the NFL locker room and on the football field now. Every time you see an issue come up and there's a judgment and punishment from Commissioner Goodell, that's going to push these type of questions on the top of the page for these executives and these scouts now, because they have to avoid that issue. When I came into the league in 1997, they didn't care about character in the same regard. They said, okay, have you ever been arrested? No. Cool. Let's move on to the next question.
Right, yeah,
but
yeah.
Now it's like, you've never been arrested, but who do you hang with? Who do you know? Who you're in connection with? What do you like to do in your free time? What are you going to do when you have 24 hours and all you have is a two-hour practice? So those kind of things are starting to happen. And it's amazing to me. Right now, we just went through a sensational story in the movie The Blind Side, where you see a guy with this kind of checker pass and his family issues, and you see how that guy turns out to be a great player and a great guy. And the sensitivity of it all is, I don't know if you learn anything from a movie like that, but like Chris Carter said, and like Herm said, you don't pick your parents. And, you know, you just don't pick who's around you. And I've seen it go both ways. I've had teammates arrested. I have teammates in trouble because I'm like, look at that circle he's around. And I also have some guys who had great people in support of them and still went wrong.
Mike and Mike, Marcellus Wiley, you've been terrific. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yes,
we always value your perspective. Thanks to Herman. Thanks to CC. Thanks for everybody jumping in here. This goes to, you know, everybody's listening and everybody's welcome.
You're listening to the best of Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio Pod Center.
Greeny, this from Justin from Cleveland.
Yep.
This talking about, again, I lost my cell phone on a plane, or I left it on a plane on Sunday. And I have not gotten it back yet, and it's Thursday, and I have been loving life without my cell phone. Justin says, guys, I'm 23 years old, and I've never owned a cell phone. I love the fact that when I'm not at home, I can't be reached. The only important person that I need to talk to is the person whose house I'm heading to. So when it comes to not having a cell phone, that's the way I like it, Greeny. I don't need one.
Person's insane. Let's bring in Bruce Bowen. Bruce Bowen, NBA analyst extraordinaire. And before you, the former Spur, tell us if the Spurs are going to bounce the Mavericks from the playoffs tonight or not. Let's start with this. Communication, how plugged in are you? Are you on, when you walk out of the studio, is the BlackBerry to your ear, the iPhone, the whatever it is, are you 24/7 talking, texting, tweeting, etc.?
I'm not 24/7. I enjoy the fact of having my own time, because it's just something that's lost today. You have situations now where before caller ID, you just answer the phone and say hello.
Right.
Now you contemplate, do I know this number? I don't know this person. Answer the phone. You don't know who it is. Just answer the phone.
No. Are you out of your mind? What is the matter with you? When they came along with a microwave, did you think yourself, no, I greatly preferred it when it took 45 minutes to make a bowl of soup.
But you know what? I like the way you can heat things up in the oven compared to the microwave. You just zap your food. It loses its taste and its flavor. If you heat it up like old school, sprinkle a little water, foil, put it in the oven 350. You got yourself good grub.
How about that?
I don't even know how to turn on an oven.
There you go. No, there you. Sometimes old school is good.
This is a man who takes the time to tie a bow tie day of his life.
I can't wear this and it not be tied by me. You know, you have some guys that have done their post game interviews with their ties that are kind of like clip ons. This is something that this is genius here. If you tell somebody, you know, it will destroy everything they like about your outfit when you say, oh, it's a clip-on. It just takes it away. It's like going from filet mignon to chicken.
I hear you.
Filet to chicken.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with that part of it. I'm just saying.
I'm sorry. I still have a little angst about the last question you had for me. And so, did you tie it yourself or is it clip-on? Come on, man. That's like saying, is this a generic show or is this the real deal?
Well, yeah, why do you want to anger this guy?
The last thing on earth I want to do is anger this guy. Trust me. It was an innocent question. It won't happen again. Okay. Let's get to the basketball. Mavericks and Spurs tonight. Huge game. Mavericks, 2 seed in the Western Conference. Many thought they were the team that was going to the finals. This is finally their year. Funny thing happened on the way to that in the Alamo, if you will. Now San Antonio can close it out tonight. What's the key?
The key is defense as normal and the adjustments that they will make against Caron Butler. Caron can score the basketball very well, as he showed he did with 35 points the last game they played. But more than anything else, San Antonio will be at home in the comforts of their own surroundings. It makes such a difference when you don't have to worry about, I got to get up a little earlier to get over on the bus, to get to the arena, and things of that nature. It's about comfort now. It's not necessarily what are they going to do because you know their offense, but it's just the little adjustments that San Antonio can make in defending Caron Butler and Dirk Nowitzki.
In a game like this, where these two teams know each other so well, how much is actually X's and O's, and how much is just flat out who gets it done this night?
Well, it's about who gets it done, who executes in the half court more than anything else. You don't want to give up transition baskets because those are the baskets you don't necessarily account for. You want to make sure that you have quality possessions. If you have a quality possession and miss the shot, you can deal with that. But when you have a possession where you don't get to the confines of what you want to do and it's a quick shot, things of that nature, that's not what you want at this time of year. You want certain players being able to take advantage of the things that the coaches have drawn up for you.
Mike, Bruce Bowen is here. A lot of people have questioned the Mavericks, for lack of a better word, toughness. You know, and I've been around professional athletes like both of you guys long enough to know there are a few things that'll make you madder than that. How do you think the Mavericks handle that? They have to know. People right now, I mean, people have used the word choke. People have questioned their toughness, questioned their defense, which in the NBA is questioning your manhood.
Well, absolutely. But it's not about being a tough guy or tough bravado in order to show that you're a tough team. That has been the knock on the Dallas Mavericks for the past 10, 12 years. That they weren't physically tough during the course of games. And so when you don't have that toughness, teams are able to come in and enforce their will against your ball club. Though you may have the talent, but that talent without a toughness, it tends to fall by the wayside.
Certainly tonight it's advantage San Antonio because they're at home. If
yes.
Dallas were to pull this game off, then how big would it be advantage Dallas game 7 at
home? It would be huge for Dallas because now the momentum has shifted. And San Antonio has only won one game, which all they needed to do in Dallas. But in the process of winning that one game, the series isn't necessarily shifted back to San Antonio until you take care of home court advantage.
It's interesting. You were still on the Spurs. Is it 3 years ago now when Dallas went in there and won Game 7 in San Antonio in overtime?
Yes.
I hate to bring up a bad memory.
Yeah, now that's even worse than the bow tie.
I'm saying, I understand that. My point is these guys know each other. These teams know each other so well, you can almost see anything happening.
Yeah, and as you have, it's more or less, I think, when it boils down to is the respect of the opponent. You have to respect your opponent, and I don't think Dallas Mavericks necessarily respected the Spurs within their first 5 games that they played against one another. So now their curiosity has been piqued and like, oh, we need to really respect this ball club in order to get victories because that's the way you do it. You have to respect your opponent because having a healthy respect for the opponent, now you're starting to prepare better. Now you're starting to understand the keys and the things that they want to do because of that respect that was brought on early on before the game.
Bruce Bowen's in our studio. Lakers reestablish themselves in a big way in Game 5 the other night against the Thunder. As you analyze where the Lakers are right now, how important will it be to you to see them go into Oklahoma City, keep this momentum going and put this series away versus what would it tell you if the young Thunder do pull off another home win and the Lakers have to go home for a game
right.
seven?
It's so important for them to come out with the same type of energy, establishing themselves down low as they did against this weak team down low. I mean, let's face it, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're young and they're inexperienced and they haven't been where the Lakers have been. This is where the veterans really pay off for the Lakers, but you have to come in there and get that victory. You have to set the tone early as far as the Lakers. You give this team an opportunity. You never know what happens with that opportunity. I watched the Lakers and Houston with Ralph Sampson when he hit that incredible shot because they had an opportunity.
So now Phoenix, another series. Phoenix going to Portland. Phoenix up 3-2. Brandon Roy looks like he's back in the starting lineup again. How do you see that one playing?
I see Phoenix going in there and getting the victory, and I only say that because they're more focused now. They didn't take it as they should have in game one against the Portland Trailblazers. And then you look at Brandon Roy. It's a tremendous, tremendous effort in your go-to guy, in your star player, watching him come back after surgery. But at the same time, he doesn't have the reps and things of that nature. He doesn't have the practice time to really get back to where he once was. So I don't necessarily think he will have such an effect on this game.
Mike and Mike, Bruce Bowen going to stay with us. We'll take a look at the Eastern Conference matchups as we continue in just a couple of moments. And we'll also get his thoughts on the pending free agency, Dwayne Wade, coaching questions in Chicago, and other things. So Bruce Bowen stays with us in a few moments. Mike and Mike is brought to you by P90X. Beach and pool weather is almost here. There's still time to get into the best shape of your life with P90X. You can go to ESPNRadio.com/Mike. Right now, ESPNRadio.com/Mike. You get a 90-day risk-free guaranteed offer there, so there's no reason not to try it.
You know, I'm doing almost all my workouts now with my shirt off. I'm alone when I'm doing that, but I'm still, it's not bad. Nothing? You got nothing for me?
I actually am too. I didn't want to say that out loud. I actually am too.
We're not working out together either, okay?
No, but if you had a phone, I could call you and invite you over, and we could do Ab Ripper X together. All right, Bruce Bowen stays in studio. We'll look at the East, the coaching, the Dwayne Wade, and everything else as we go on next. Mike and Mike in the morning.
ESPN Radio.
Bruce Bowen's in our studio, bow tie and all. We just went through all your Western Conference playoff scenarios. Let's take a look over in the East, where the Milwaukee Bucks are one win away from knocking Atlanta out of this postseason. They get a win last night, a 14-0 run late in the game. They close that on an 18-5 run to beat the Hawks and go home. How surprised are we with Milwaukee?
Oh, we're very surprised. But Scott Skiles has done a tremendous job with this young team. He's a defense coach that understands that first and foremost, we got to have the D. Here it is. They've lost Andrew Bogut and Michael Red to injuries this year, and they're still in the thick of things as far as the playoffs. It's by the defense that they're getting this done, and they have a young star on the rise in Brandon Jennings. But more than anything else, I was really curious about the meltdown on Atlanta's side, yeah, where you look at their faces. Joe Johnson's not a guy that does a lot of talking during the course of the games. I saw him flustered quite a bit. I saw him asking other guys, what are you doing? What's going on here? In my opinion, being a former athlete, we always knew that when things start getting tough and guys start getting a little bit chirpy, it creates a bad atmosphere for that team executing down the stretch.
The talk is always Cleveland and Orlando and Boston, and it usually stops there. Should we be talking about the winner of this series doing anything, or is it just a matter of time before they're dropped in the next round?
Well, I think it's a matter of time before they're dropped in the next round, because with those other teams, they have a history of being able to pull out games. They have a history of being able to close out games that they should. Here you never know what you're going to get from the Atlanta Hawks. They have a team that they just stand and watch each one player go one-on-one against five people. They don't make the defense move in the half court, and their selection of shots, it can be better, especially in playoff basketball.
Mike and Mike, Bruce Bowen's here. How worried should we be about LeBron James' elbow?
I don't think we should be that worried. Here it is. He's performed prior to this at a high level. So I think this was a situation that has kind of been blown out of proportion. I'm sure he didn't realize that by him not getting the timeout or shooting the free throw with his right hand would have created such attention as it has today.
All right, so all of that there. And then there is really the first huge decision of this big free agent summer that's going to be made. Right, Dwayne Wade yesterday said his heart is in Miami, and it looks certainly it's the Heat's. He's the Heat's player to lose, if you will. The Knicks are out there, they're going to want to spend a lot of money. The Heat's out there, they're going to want to spend a lot of money. Detroit has a lot of money. Teams have a lot of money. The Bulls have a lot of money, and they're going to make a coaching change. You would think when they bring in a coach, they're going to want to do it with an eye on which coach is going to give us the best chance of recruiting one of these great superstar players. So who is that? Who are the coaches who are out there that these guys want to play for?
Well, you have Jeff Van Gundy that's still out there. I think he's a top candidate for any coaching job.
Do star players want to play for him?
I think so. Yeah. I think it's a situation where you want a coach that understands the game more than anything else. He's been able to win at other places that he's been. So because of his knowledge of the game, I give him thumbs up big time as far as all the coaches that are out there. You also have Avery Johnson, who was able to lead the Dallas Mavericks to the NBA Finals in the only time that they made that appearance there. So you have to take him into account as well. As we talk about Dwayne Wade, I think he stays in Miami. He's accomplished so much in Miami, you don't want to necessarily lose that. You don't want to go somewhere else, and then things are completely different. He has been able to embrace that city. That city has embraced him. It's not often that you get an opportunity to play for one team only, and you have a championship in South Dade.
But we also know that he sat around that locker room after they were eliminated, and I'm sure thought to himself, I can't win with what's in this room. So, what does Pat Riley and what do the Miami Heat need to do to that team to make Dwayne Wade say, yeah, I'm going to sign. I'm going
to
stay here.
It's obvious they need to get a big man, because in this game, you need a big man. You need somebody to throw the ball to down low in order to get victories. You need someone to create double teams down low, which it makes even more of a great opportunity for Dwayne Wade to slash to the basket. We saw that when he had Shaquille O'Neal. I don't know which player is out there that's able to stay down low.
It's Chris Bosh?
Well, I don't think he's a player that you put down low.
Right.
He's more of a perimeter big, and that's what you had in Jermaine O'Neal and Beasley.
Why didn't they do everything they could to get Stoudemire then?
Who knows? Who knows? But, you know, even with Stoudemire, his best bet is having Steve Nash, someone that could get him the ball in places where he can operate. I don't think Amar is the type of player that can go elsewhere and still give the same production that he's had in Phoenix. He's had the luxury of having Steve Nash with the pick and roll that he and Steve run so well. You see someone who's suffering in that aspect of things in Sean Marion. Ever since Sean Marion has left Phoenix, we have wondered, where is that Sean Marion? Where is the Matrix? Where is that guy that got out on the break? Where is the guy that was trouble in transition? So these are some of the things that players have to take into account, as well as thinking, oh, I want to go over there because they're going to give me an opportunity.
Interesting stuff. Mike and Bruce Bowen. One other thing I wanted to bounce off you. There's been a great deal of discussion throughout the sports world for the last 48 hours or so about the controversy involving the Miami Dolphins, their general manager, Jeff Ireland, and his asking a question that almost everyone has deemed inappropriate of Dez Bryant, the then potential draftee, in which he asked him if his mother was a prostitute. There's been a great deal of conversation. You're a former professional athlete. You know what it's like to be poked and prodded and asked a lot of questions when you were coming in. As you've seen this whole thing, what's your perspective?
It was absolutely wrong. You know, you have things that they say, well, we have to look out for our organization and things of that nature. Well, asking someone, is their mom a prostitute? That has nothing to do with the organization. That has nothing to do with his decisions. That's his mother. That's somebody he loves first and foremost. And for you to say something like that during the course of an interview, that's unacceptable. I don't understand how that will have any relation to anything that they do as far as being the Miami Dolphins.
Let's throw it out on the other side and say, he's had his issues.
He's had his issues.
She's had her issues. She's been in jail for drug trafficking, 18 months in jail. If she is going to live with him when he goes to play for the Dallas Cowboys, so she's going to be close and part of his life, then do they have a right to dig a little deeper? I'm not saying ask that question, because the way they asked the question was horrible, but a way to dig in a little more to try and find out more if she's going to be that close to him.
I think it is a way. There is a way to do things like that, and one of those ways is saying, hey, we have some concerns about the things that have transpired in your life, and we're looking out for our organization, and we want to make sure we put you in the best light we can. And how do we go about that? Part of that is monitoring. We want to see that you're doing the right things in the community and within the organization to make sure that we don't have any mishaps. Now, do you think that'll be a problem, having certain family around you to be able to get this accomplished? I think there are certain ways that we can do things when it's not making someone feel less than a human being, because no one else went through that when they went through their interview process with the Miami Dolphins. And I understand he carries luggage, or I should say baggage, But still, you don't have to do anything like that. It's very degrading, and it makes for a situation that now if this continues to spread, it brings more attention to the Miami Dolphins. I know that the Miami Dolphins is not about that, but this one question, this one indecision on this gentleman's behalf can create such controversy for your organization.
We'll get the local perspective. Dan Lebertide will jump in here 10 after 9 Eastern, 10 after 8 Central. So about 20 minutes from now, Marcellus Wiley will be in studio as well, so we'll get his thoughts. All right, Bruce Bowen, first and foremost, thank you. Great to see you.
Thanks, appreciate being on, fellas.
See you on SportsCenter. See you back in here next couple of days as we continue to look to the NBA playoffs.
You're listening to the best of Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio Pod Center.
It's our pleasure to bring in Timmy Kirchner on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Earlier, Timmy told you he would tell you when he joined us when you should expect to see the young pitching phenom Stephen Strasburg in a major league ballpark near you. Timmy, what is the answer to that question?
Well, I think, Greeny, it's going to be June the 8th at home on a Tuesday night against the Pirates. They're trying to groom this guy to be as good as he can be when he gets there, and then everything be in line for him. So a normal Tuesday night against the Pirates may draw 15,000. They would probably sell it out if he were to pitch that night. Just seems logical. He's tearing it up at Double A. He's going to get 3 to 4 starts at Triple A. They want him to pitch 100 innings in the major leagues this year, and they want him to pitch through September so he gets the feeling of pitching that extra month. And when he arrives, everything gets better in Washington, and things are a lot better now. That team is playing much better than it did last year.
You see kid gloves real early on with him?
Well, yeah, but we got kid gloves going on, Mike, with everybody these days. I mean, I don't think they're going to take him out after 5 innings. I mean, if he's got a shutout going through 7 and he's only thrown 90 pitches, they'll let him go. But they're certainly not going to overwork him. And if they didn't have the kid gloves, he would have started opening day. But it makes no sense to do that. But it does make some sense to get him up after a couple months and really get people fired up about that team.
Mike and Mike, Timmy Kirchner with us. The New York Mets just concluded their best homestand of 7 games or more, or one that tied their best homestand of 7 games or more. They came home with people talking about firing the manager. They finished their homestand in first place in the National League East, and their pitching, which everyone, including me, thought was going to be a major problem, has actually been terrific. What gives with the New York Mets?
Well, their pitching has been great, Greeny, and I didn't see it coming either. They left spring training without a number 2 starter, and that number 2 starter now is Mike Pelfrey, who's got 24 consecutive scoreless innings. And he and Nolan Ryan have the 2 best Aprils, 25 innings more, in the history of the team. It's amazing. They are 3rd in the league in ERA, which we didn't see coming. Their bullpen has the 3rd best ERA in the National League, which we didn't see that coming. And Jerry Manuel, you got to give him credit for taking a bullpen that was staggering around, and he put those pieces together. And so far, it's really worked out. It's helped that Ike Davis, the first baseman, came up and gave him a little energy, but that pitching's been really good.
And then there's Tampa Bay. They've won 4 in a row, 8 of their last 10. Their run differential is plus 59. The next 2 closest teams are the Yankees and San Francisco at plus 33. It's amazing what they're doing, and I guess the question is, how much can they keep up the torrid pace?
Well, I think they're, the way I look at it now, they're going to make the playoffs in the East. I'm not sure they can beat the Yankees, but you're right, Mike. They have a dynamic offensive team now. You know, we talk a lot about their young pitching, as we should. David Price threw a shutout. This kid Wade Davis is a rookie. He's their 5th starter. He's very good. But the reason they're clobbering people right now is, you know, they're scoring 9, 8, 6, 7 runs all the time. And with the offensive players they have, I'm not sure that's going to stop on any sort of level here. And they also know that Carl Crawford's not coming back next year. There's a chance Carlos Pena won't come back next year. So I sense this spring from them that they know if we're going to win, we got to go now. And that's the way they're playing every single night.
Mike and Mike, Timmy Kirchner.
Timmy!
All right, let's get to the All-Star game. This committee that they put together, from which I was shamefully omitted, put together a variety of suggestions that they are applying to this year's All-Star game, and most of them are fine. There's going to be a DH in the All-Star game now, regardless of whether it's played in an AL or NL ballpark. That's fine. They've actually expanded the roster to give lesser risk that they'll run out of players, and they've made a couple of other minor changes. My suggestion, Timmy, is this. If we're going to make this a game, and I'm in favor of it being a game, I know I stand pretty much alone on that with the commissioner, but I'm in favor of it, then let's make it a game. Let's stop already with every team being represented. Let's shorten the roster, not expand the roster, but shorten the roster. Let's put the best players in the game on the field and leave them out there and let them play a game, with the exception of the pitchers. We know no one wants that. So you would bring a million pitchers and then just basically the same number of players you'd have in a normal game. And let's play it like a regular baseball game. What do you think?
I respectfully disagree, Greeny. Look, I know what you're trying to say, and it's very admirable, but in the end, it's the All-Star game. And I think the more players who are there, the better. They don't play it like it's a real game. They don't want to play it like it's a real game. And to ask guys to play nine innings and the only 3 days off they have all year, there are going to be some players who don't want to do that. I think it's okay to represent every team, because pretty soon, someday, whatever, Kansas City's going to have an All-Star game, and to not have a Royal in the All-Star game, I'm just picking here, that just doesn't seem right to me. So I'm all for expanding the rosters. I'm all for using the DH. I'm all for making changes, because I'm sorry, it's still just not a baseball game. It's still an exhibition game to me.
I'm so disappointed in Timmy Kirkchen. I really am.
And I agree so much with everything he just said, and yet there's this meaning at the end of the game that I just can't get out of my head, that just drives me nuts.
You're still against that too, aren't you, Timmy?
I am. And look, the All-Star game is a great 3 days for everyone. Everyone has a great time. But I'm telling you, Greeny, having been to the last 30, they're not there to win the game. They're there to have a good time, bring their families, take a bunch of pictures, win the home run derby. They're not thinking, we got to win. This is not Pete Rose and Mike Schmidt looking at each other and saying, we're going to beat those guys again this year. It doesn't work that way.
I know, but wasn't it better then?
I think it was better then. I'm not disputing that, Greeny. I'm saying the players have changed, the game has changed, everything has changed. We used to have two leagues back then that didn't play each other in the middle of the season. We used to have guys who were only National League guys. We used to have guys who were only American League guys. We had league umpires. We had league presidents. It was a real division. There was real pride in being a National League guy. Those days are so far over. That's why the All-Star game doesn't work as well, even though it's still a great exhibition.
All right, they need me on this committee more than ever.
Oh, yeah,
now. I
they
really
sure
believe
do.
That. Tim McKirchin,
yeah,
every Thursday.
Timmy.
Thank you, Timmy.
Okay, boys. See
no
you.
Matter how strongly
Timmy!
I disagree, I still respect him very much.
Why did you ever say that to me?
Because I don't respect you at all.
I strongly disagree with you as well. You never say you respect me.
Yeah, because your disagreement is based in stupidity. His disagreement is based in his passion and love for the game, which has clouded him to the obvious reality of my point of view.